First, just a quick reminder that after Mass, those who are interested in the proposed columbarium, Patrick Ray will be in St. Michael Hall there to answer any questions and to show you the plans and some other things for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In his commentary on the great penitential Psalm 51, St. Augustine said, "The less we concentrate on our own sins, the more interested we become in the sins of others. As fallen creatures, we seek to criticize, not correct. Unable to excuse ourselves, we are ready to accuse others." We see this in this magnificent passage from St. John's Gospel, a story that's probably very familiar to all of us. Apparently, there's no question in the story about the actual guilt of the woman. She was caught in the act of adultery. Though they do leave out, it takes two, of course, to do this. They leave out where the other person is. But we won't go there. We have this to go on. So, her accusers take this opportunity to parade her guilt, her shame around publicly. Human nature is at its lowest when it puts on display the sins of others for the world to see. But isn't that exactly where we are? Very little has changed. Did you hear what so-and-so did? No? Well, let me tell you about it. There was a movie years ago. Well, if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, come sit next to me. We all have this in us, this desire to do this. It's easy for us to comfortably sit in judgment over a variety of sins of others. We are already experts at being armchair coaches. We can tell all the coaches on television exactly what they've done wrong. It's too easy for us to become armchair judge and jury of another person's soul. Some people are never so happy as they are in the face of scandal. So in the days when Jesus walked the earth, you know, since they had no CNN, Fox, MSNBC, or whatever television channel, the way they did this was to drag them in front of people to accuse them in public. Now the crowd in the passage is excited. You can almost feel the electricity in St. John's writing. The woman was even perhaps trying to pull her veil over her face to shield her shame, like you see people do when they're getting in police cars or something. And they didn't just drag her anywhere. They brought her to the temple of God, a place that is supposed to be a place of God's forgiveness. That was the reason for all the sacrifices, was so you could be forgiven for sins. And now they're using it not only as a place to parade a sin, but also to try to trap someone, in this case, to entrap Jesus. Now, they were technically correct. In the law of Moses, it does say this: stoning was the punishment. It's listed as one of the three biggies, right next to idolatry and murder. And Jesus, of course, they had heard, said so many things already about the sanctity of marriage, the evils of adultery. So they think in this test, they finally have him trapped. Their blind hatred for Jesus leads them to treat this woman as an object to get what they want. Of course, what happens is completely unexpected. It's a reminder that we are all sinners. Every one of us, our solidarity as sinners should lead you and me to compassion for another person, not judgment. And so he comes up with one of the best one-liners in history. "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." It's interesting, our reaction to that. It's like, yeah, Jesus, those hypocrites, you get them. That's a good zinger. When we should be saying, is that me? Am I one that has a stone in my hand? Where have I done likewise? To repeat St. Augustine, the less we concentrate on our own sins, the more interested we become in the sins of others. We seek to criticize, not correct. In the story, it's interesting that the older ones are the ones that left first. Maybe they've been tempered by life. Maybe they had sinned more, as we tend to do as we get older, and they knew more about themselves. And then the judge, because everything has been given over to Christ as judge, he pardons her. He gave her a new chance. Go and sin no more. He doesn't say that what you did was okay. He doesn't glorify it at all. He simply gave her a new start, a new beginning. And we can, with God's grace, we can learn from our mistakes and do better. And this is the very essence of mercy, that we don't get what we deserve. God forbid that you and I actually get what we deserve in the end, right? That's why we depend on mercy, that we don't get what we truly deserve. And Jesus emphasizes her future, our future. Go and stop sinning. Many people feel imprisoned by their past, as if they can't move forward from it. Something shameful, perhaps, something so wrong, they're not even sure God can forgive it. But that's impossible. God is infinite. God is all-powerful, all-merciful, and there is nothing you have done that he can't forgive. Jesus offers us always a path forward, a mercy greater than any sin you can do. Always remember, every saint had a past, and every sinner has a future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.